full of knowledge and full of bliss, Satchit Ananda. And that Ananda is in our love for Radha Krishna and Radha Krishna's love for us, which is unlimited and unending. For the purpose of attracting us into these beautiful pastimes of love, the Lord incarnates within this world in many times, in many places. That is called avatar. And Radha Krishna descended from Goloka, the spiritual world, into this world approximately 5,000 years ago. Their home was Brajbhumi, or Vrindavan. Not far from here is Nandagaon. That was the home of Krishna. From a chronological perspective, Krishna appeared simultaneously in Mathura and Gokul Mahavan. Perhaps you will take them there. And in Mahavan, Krishna Balaram performed their beautiful pastimes as little babies and children. And Sri Radha was born in a place not far from Mahavan called Mukya Ravali, also called Raval. And she, beautiful story of her birth. You all know it? May I tell? There are many stories. But Prisha Bhanu, this is the story that my Gurudev told from the Brahmanda Purana. Prisha Bhanu, a very, very great deep devotee, in his previous life, Kalavati and Suchandra were husband and wife, and they performed yoga for thousands of years. And finally, the Lord appeared before them and offered them any benediction. The only benediction they wanted was that we want to love and serve the eternal pleasure potency, the Ladini Shakti, the feminine aspect of the one divine supreme truth, Radha, as our own daughter. So Suchandra took his next birth as Brisha Bhanu and Kalavati as Kirtida. And one day Brisha Bhanu was plowing a field, and as he was plowing, as the ground opened up, and he found emerging from Mother Earth a very, very incredible, beautiful, golden complexion little girl who was laying on a lotus flower. Because Mother Earth, or Bhumi, is an expansion of Sri Radha. The presiding deity of the earth, Bhumi, is actually the feminine aspect of God, or Bhagavan. Therefore, for those on the path of bhakti, environmentalism is not just about leaving the world a better place for our children and grandchildren. It's actually an inseparable aspect of our worship of the Supreme Lord. Because she is our mother. She is Krishna's consort in the reference of this world. And is providing everything for everyone. From the perspective of Mother Earth, every single one of us could never grow beyond an infant baby. Because we are totally, helplessly depending on her at every moment, for the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, the light, sun. So Sri Radha manifested from the earth. And Brisha Bhanu saw this beautiful baby and took her home to his house. And it was interesting. She was so beautiful. Immediately upon seeing her, Rishabhanu, Kirtida, and all the people of Ravo totally fell in love with her. They couldn't understand what was happening. It wasn't just the love of their minds. It wasn't just the love of their hearts. It was the unlimited love of their souls pouring out for this child. But they felt very sad because she would not open her eyes and she would not make a single sound. She was completely silent. Days went by. What to do? They didn't understand. One day, the great sage Narada Muni, he understood, because just shortly before, Krishna appeared in Gokul, Mahavan. So he understood that Radharani would be appearing soon after. So he came to that place. Narada Muni is one of the great historical sages, or rishi yogis, who appears in so many of the histories of India. So he came to the house of Rishabhanu, and Rishabhanu was thinking, if Narada Muni blesses my baby girl, then maybe she'll open her eyes and make a sound. So when Narada Muni saw her, he told everyone, please, everyone, let me be alone with her. And they closed the doors, and he was alone with her. And he surrendered his heart. And then that little baby turned into the eternal goddess of Sri Radha in her full form and blessed him. Then she became a baby again and closed her eyes. And he came out of the room and said, everything will be all right. And it was at that time that when Sri Radharani blessed Narada Muni, she instructed him to compile the Narada Bhakti Sutras, which is to this day one of the most important scriptures of the Vedas. So one day Yashoda and Nanda, Krishna's mother and father, they heard that Rishabhanu had a baby girl. So they came for the purpose of seeing her and blessing her. And she was sitting on a little swing, like a little bed swing. She was with her eyes closed. And Nanda Yashoda saw her, blessed her. Then all the parents, the grown-ups, were talking, and little Krishna, he crawled up to her, and he reached up to the little cradle that she was on. And as soon as his face was right in front of hers, like two beautiful lotus flowers instantly blossoming, she opened her eyes. And when she saw the beautiful moon-like face of Govinda, she cried out his holy name. She didn't want to see anything or say a sound before she was seeing and glorifying Krishna. Some years later, Nanda Yashoda moved Krishna to Nandagaon, and Vrishabhanu Kirtida moved Radharani to Bhadrasana. That is where we are. And the temple we were just at, where Vishwambar Prabhu is leading that incredible devotional kirtan, is the very spot where Sri Radha had her home. And according to the scriptures, there's two kinds of leelas, or devotional loving pastimes. There's prakata and aprakata. Prakata is the manifested physical pastime that we could see with our physical senses. That took place 5,000 years ago. The aprakata is what is on the transcendental platform that is eternally taking place. Nitya Lila Nitya Dham. In this holy land of Vrindavan, Radha, Krishna, and their eternal associates, their pastimes are forever taking place. Primanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. When our eyes are ornamented with the mascara of love, then we can see those pastimes. We can hear those pastimes. We can feel those pastimes. So at that place, that is Radharani's eternal home, where she resided 5,000 years ago. And in all of these beautiful areas, this is where Radha and her friends and her parents would have their wonderful pastimes, and Krishna would come with his friends and share those pastimes again and again every day. There are four mountains in Bhadarsana. And according to the Puranas, it explains that Lord Brahma, who is the father of everyone within this particular universe, the creator, the secondary creator, empowered by Vishnu, he begged for a benediction. The benediction he begged for is that when Radha and Krishna appear in this world, that he could get the dust of the feet of them and all of their devotees on top of his head. So Sri Radha blessed him, and he appeared as these four mountains. That is why when you were first entering, just coming to the top of the hill, there was a temple of Brahma to commemorate that beautiful historical event. After Radharani and Krishna departed from this world, Krishna's great-grandson, Bhadranath was his name. He established temples and deities in various very important places of his great-grandfather's pastimes. And he established Radha Govindaji in Vrindavan, Hari Dev at Govardhan, Srinathji at Govardhan. He established Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan in Vrindavan. He established Brinda Devi in Kamyavan. And he established Ladalilal, or Sriji, on the top of the hill, as a temple in the very place of Sri Radha's home. But over the millenniums, those deities were lost. About 500 years ago, there was a very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya named Narayan Bhatt Goswami, an associate of the six Goswamis. And he was living in a nearby place called Ungshagaon. And he was given a vision of the places of Radha and Krishna's Leelas here, to establish and revitalize them as places of pilgrimage. And he had a special vision where Radharani appeared and told him that those deities were under the ground in a certain place. And he came to that hill, and we passed the very place where he found them, and he established this temple. The temple we were just at, singing and dancing with all the Brijavasis. Sometime later, a king from the Jaipur area, he wanted to build a beautiful temple for them. And he wanted to do it in such a way, because in those days, the kings, many of them were very great devotees. He actually wanted to create a temple and places for all of his ministers and himself. And they would all come from Rajasthan, and they would make their most important decisions here. And the king himself would just take a very humble position, and be with all the ministers and Radha Govinda Dev, Varli Lal, those original deities would be on the throne. Just to show that I'm being a king just means a humble servant of the Supreme King, Radha Krishna. So this was his plan. Because it was just a simple temple over there. And he built this temple that we're at now. We were sitting. And it was, you can see how intricately, beautifully carved. Can you imagine how it looked when it was brand new about 400 years ago? And after he completed it and was about to bring the deities here, Radharani appeared to him in a dream and said, "The hill that I'm on now is my home. Do not take me from there, or you will not please me." He said, "You can install other forms of me there, like build a new temple for me there." So that's how this temple was built. It was built for something that never happened. So he installed another set of beautiful deities, but the temple is closed now. And then the Latterly Lal temple was built. Arsana is a very, very special sacred place in Vrindavan. Because among others, being the home of Sri Radha, it is the land of devotion. And people come here from all over Vrindavan, from all over India, and by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, from all over the world, to connect our hearts and our consciousness with the grace of Radha. Because according to the theology, philosophy of bhakti, all grace emanates from its origin, which is Sri Radha, the compassionate, loving aspect of the One Supreme. And we believe that it is that grace that can empower us, purify us, protect us, and liberate us from all the limitations, all the sufferings, and all illusions of this world. Well, this is a special place historically for thousands and thousands of years where we are today. Considered one of the most holy of all holy places within Vrindavan. People come to pray for Sri Radha's grace. And the ultimate prayer is to pray to be an instrument of Radha's love in whatever we do. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Radha in one form. Krishna with the love of Sri Radha, distributing, sharing that love. And Sri Radha in Sri Chaitanya taught us a beautiful prayer. Natanam najanam na sundarim kapitam va jagati shakamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavata bhakti rohaitaki. I do not want the perishing, fleeting things of this world. We can use the wonderful things in this world in loving service, but that is not our aim in life, to collect things that will inevitably be taken away by the powers of time. He said, "I am not coming and praying to you for wealth or fame or prestige. I am not coming for the pleasures of the senses. I don't even want liberation, freedom from suffering. My only prayer is awaken from within my heart that eternal, unconditional love. And let me express that love by serving you unconditionally. And if it is your desire, I am happy to serve you birth after birth after birth after birth. Vrindavan is the place that represents the highest revelation of the Vedic scriptures. Unconditional, ecstatic love. There are various goals that one can achieve worshipping God in different ways. We can achieve wealth, we can achieve health, we can achieve powers, we can achieve elevation to higher planets, mystic cities. Mystic cities means where we could perform incredible miracles. We can produce things, anything we want, just by chanting a mantra, dematerializing and rematerializing things by learning how to tune into the subtle elements of this material creation. By transporting our body, we can go to other planets. This is what yogis do. You're going to Kumbh Mela. It's a well-known fact. Everybody knows that yogis from way, way high in the Himalayas, they go in the Ganga, they go underwater, and then they appear in Prayag, 1,000 miles away. They just go under the water, and then they come up. So if you see somebody just coming up that you didn't see go down, it might be one of these yogis. It's a mystic power. They don't have to take trains or buses or planes. They just chant a mantra. We may say it's impossible, because we can't do it. If we don't know anyone who can do it, it doesn't mean it's impossible. So these are mystic powers. Another goal is liberation, mukti or moksha, which means total peace. No suffering, no anxiety, total peace, infinite peace forever. That is moksha. But according to the Vedas, the true highest revelation, the ultimate goal, is prema. Prema means the awakening from within our hearts, the innate, dormant, ecstatic love. Generally, those who want eternal peace, approach the Lord as Brahman, or the supreme all-pervading truth. And those who want that ecstatic, dynamic awakening of love, worship Bhagavan, Krishna, Ram, Narayan. These are various eternal forms of Bhagavan. And of those forms of Bhagavan, Narayan is worshipped as the supreme God with unconditional, pure, eternal love. Lakshmi Narayan. And Sitaram, more intimately, as God, who reveals themselves, Sitaram, in a very loving, exchanging way with their devotees. And beyond that, it's Radha Krishna, where they reveal themselves before the devotees with such sweetness, with such... Their love is to such an all-pervading, inclusive extent of intimacy that we could love them as a friend, as a parent, or as a lover. And because the sweetness, the beauty, and the playfulness of their lila is so great, that the realization that they are God, the origin of everything, goes so much in the background. And that provides that intimacy. So Vrindavan is the land of that highest revelation of intimate ecstatic prema, or love for the supreme one truth. And Sri Radha is the source of that love. And Krishna is the supreme object of that love. Darsana is the home wherein we can pray and access that love. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya, in this beautiful prayer, I do not want wealth. If we get it, we'll use it. But that's not what we approach God for, because that's going to perish. I do not want fame and prestige. I don't even want mystical powers. I don't even want moksha or liberation. I simply want to serve you with love, unconditionally, forever. And if we pray sincerely, especially in this holy place, the prayer will be fulfilled. When we chant these beautiful holy names in this holy place, we actually tune into the frequency of Sri Radha's grace. Access that grace. Become purified and empowered by that. A few thoughts. How many of you knew Shyamdas? Please raise your hands. Shyamdas and I would love to come here. Just walk these same little areas of Darsana. Because I lived here in 1971. I would regularly come to all these places. I love to spend time in Vrindavan, Govardhan, Barsana, and different places. And we'll soon be going to one hill. There's this whole section in Journey Home about Ramesh Baba. He's still living. You may be able to. I'm going to meet him. I don't know if he'll meet all of you, but I'll be meeting him. And I'll be taking prasad with these Brijavasis who I've known for 42 years now. They've been giving me rotis. But we'll meet them. That's just on a mountain where there's a beautiful story we don't have time to tell now, but it's a story which is so sweet and so sacred to devotees all over the world, which demonstrates how Krishna is conquered by the love of Radha. And in doing, in this Leela, he's revealing how Krishna, the supreme, all-powerful God of all creation in all material and spiritual worlds, his greatest happiness is to be conquered by the love of each and every one of his devotees who loves him with pure devotion. At this eye camp where we're taking cataracts out of people's eyes, I can say something about that. In one sense, it's very symbolic. Because the nature of the true self, the Atma or the soul, is to know God and to love God intimately and to see everything in relationship with Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita explains, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, that person is never lost, nor am I ever. I am never lost to them, and they are never lost to me. So why are we not seeing everything as Krishna's divine energy? Why are we not feeling Krishna's love in our hearts? Because avidya, or ignorance. Ignorance is like a cataract. It's covering. We should be able to see Krishna everywhere. Why? Because this cataract of ignorance is there. We can't see anything as it is. Maya means that which is not. We're not seeing anything the way it really is. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwam. Everything is God's property. Every living being is a beloved, eternal, intimate, loving child of God. Why do we not see that? Why do we see a dog as a dog and an elephant as an elephant and people as a male and a female and all of these different designations. These are all dresses. They're all different model automobiles. But the true self is sacred, divine, a part of Krishna. That is to be loved, to be honored. And the whole earth and all of material existence is the property of Krishna that is meant to be loved and honored. We can't see that because of the cataract. And due to that cataract over our spiritual vision, not these eyes, but cataract in the eye of the heart, the ingredients of that cataract is the ahankar, the ego, which creates greed and lust and envy and anger and arrogance and illusion. But this enechi, this is the surgery by which the cataract is removed. And the gurus are like the physicians who are helping us to remove this cataract. And when the cataract is removed, then we can see everything as it is. So just before, when we were, you all gave blankets to the Vrijavasis. These Vrijavasis are from villages that are so poor you have never seen. It makes the poverty of America look like aristocracy. These people, no electricity, no sanitation, they just live in little huts in far out little villages. Sometimes they really have nothing. And our devotees go to all those villages and inform them that we're having this for people who are going blind, because it's the number one reason for blindness in India. It's untreated cataracts, because they have no money. They have no means. So these people, some of them, we go and we pick them up and bring them to the place where you just were. Previously, it was about three times bigger. There was all these other facilities to actually examine them and prepare them. This is just the last stage that you saw today. But as I was giving the blankets after you did, I was asking all the Vrijavasis to bless me. And they were hitting my head with their hands, like these 90-year-old ladies. 100-year-old ladies and 80-year-old ladies. If you ask their age, most of them have no idea. The only way they, because they don't have birth certificates in those villages. They don't have hospitals even. They're just born in a little hut and they live in their little hut. And they don't read the newspapers, and they don't have, they're illiterate usually, they don't have television. So it's not that they can even tell you the current events of the time. Some people in India, they approximate their age by what was going on in the world when they were children. These people, the only thing they've ever seen, what was going on, they knew. What was going on in the world when you were a child? Well, we were herding cows. we were tilling our fields. So some of them were hitting my head and going, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. And some were saying, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And some were saying, May Radharani bless you. And one very old lady, she was a Muslim. There's many Muslims there in the Aikya, Christian some, and she said, May Allah bless you. She didn't hit my head though, she just went like this. It's a beautiful experience to humble ourselves before the simple people. Thank you very much. I hope you are all happy. And thank you, Gopi Manjari, one of my favorite, most living beings in creation. such good heart, such compassionate, generous, loving nature. Thank you. Our dear Vishwambar, Yamuna Devi,
such brothers and sisters, what all the Vrijavasi things. The little Vrijavasi children going like this, and all the ladies. You do all over the world, you did today. And be sure. My dear friend Zach, who along with me is intruding. Because of the time limitations, you will be liberated from having to listen to me anymore. We'll just make a little circle around this. Be careful not to step on the bees. The bees here don't sting unless you really scare them, like trapping them.
Should I tell you a story? It's a stupid story. But it's a confession story. One time I was somewhere and I was leading a kirtan. People were dancing, and they were all young men and young ladies everywhere around. And oh, so many bees. You see these close? It's called a lungi. They're not like pants, because they're very open on the bottom. Somehow or other, about 6 or 7 bees went underneath. They were flying around in there. And they got really scared because they felt trapped. So they started stinging me like anything. This was not in Vrindavan. This was in another place. If it was Vrindavan, it would have felt very nice. This is somewhere in America, actually. And they were yellow jacket kind of bees. They were yellow jacket bees. And they were like stinging and stinging, and they were desperate to get out, and they couldn't get out, and they were stinging. And I was thinking that the only way to let them out is to take my lungi off in front of everybody. And swamis aren't supposed to do that. It's better. There were respectable ladies and everything around. So I was getting stung and stung, and I was kind of jumping, and everyone thought I was dancing, and everyone thought I was in some sort of very unique, special ecstasy dancing. Actually, I was trying to go. I was like this. And finally, I just ran away from everybody and took my dhoti off and let the bees fly away, and then put it back on. If I did it in front of them, they would have thought I was a Nagababa. So the bees don't sting unless you trap them. But if you step on them, then you're made. Vrindavan is called Madhurya Dham, which means the holy place that is the transcendentally sweetest of all sweet places. Where God's power recedes into the background, and the forefront is taken by Krishna and Radha's sweetness, their beauty, and their love. That is Vrindavan. Welcome home. Jai Shri Radhe.